Writer Paul Theroux is a Medford, Massachusetts native. He now lives on the Cape, but he has long made it his business to travel the world and write. And there are but a few places he has left unexplored. His books, such as The Great Railway Bazaar and Dark Star Safari, span the globe. A train ride from Boston to Argentina, a journey from Cairo to Cape Town, London to Tokyo, the South Pacific, and the UK. But his own country? Not so much.
And for his first travel book about the United States, he chose to document the American South. Theroux writes, "I was in the Deep South because I hardly knew it."
The new book's title is Deep South, Four Seasons on Back Roads. And Paul Theroux will be at a Harvard Bookstore event tomorrow night, but he joins us right now in the studio. Paul Theroux, welcome to Radio Boston.
It's wonderful to be here, Magda.
It is a pleasure to have you, and the book is such a beautiful read. I would just love to start by giving listeners a taste of Deep South. Could you read a little passage from to us, please?
Yes, I'll read something that you suggested. I didn't know what to read, but I'll read. I left my home in the Cape to go down south, and here's an example of beyond the icicles hanging against my Cape Cod window like a row of overgrown crystal carrots. January snow lay thick on the ground. The morning was clear and cloudless, but cold, 10 degrees of frost. A mute, visible crackle in the air, like neurons sparking in ice chips, the winter silence, broken only by the rasp and clatter of crows beating the bumps and bandages of snow from the branches with their wings, startled by the crunch of my footfalls and the snow crusts and the kerthunk of my door slam. Oh my, perhaps I'm overdoing this. What was lovely to observe and describe was even lovelier to leave, which is perhaps why I was hyperventilating in this wordy way by seeing it as a winter wonderland, a cliche I was trying to avoid. It was an effect of my condition. I was in a mood of farewell. And then after almost 600 miles of snowfall, I stopped for the night at a motel north of Richmond, and the next morning I continued into sunlight, happy again in the warm, winter brown south. This time I knew where I was going.
That's Paul Theroux reading from his book, Deep South. We wanted you to read that part because we are heading towards winter here in New England once again. And after the last winter, the idea of going down south probably seems very, very appealing to a lot of people. But why is it that you chose, I mean, for your first, you know, really significant book about the United States, that you did choose the South as the place you wanted to write about?
Well, for one thing, I grew up in Medford, and this book is dedicated to a friend of mine, George Davis, who is black. We were at high school together, and he went down south in 1963 when he graduated from college, and I went to Africa. I went to Central Africa, and we stayed in touch, leading parallel lives, and I always hankered after his experience. I must say he hankered after mine, too. George died 2 years ago, and One of the unfulfilled wishes that I had was that I wasn't in the South during voter registration, which he was. Mm. As soon as I got a glimpse of the South and saw the difference in terms of landscape, in terms of the economy, in terms of demographics, population, the smell, the look, the taste of the food, I thought, this is a place that I want to write about, because writing is about bringing news, I suppose, if you're writing a travel book, and seeing something that's different, something new, something strange, something wonderful. And all that I found in the South.
Huh. You know, it's interesting because there's a comparison, actually, that you make early in the book between Medford and a small southern store that you stopped by. It's a convenience store in Alabama, and the jars of candy that were being sold there brought you back to Medford, as you write, circa 1949.
Yes.
I mean, so you were looking for differences, but you saw maybe distant similarities nevertheless.
Well, yeah. I mean, one of the links with the South was when I was 14 years old, I read the story of how Emmett Till was lynched.
Of course.
And this is 1955, and I read about it in Look magazine, which we subscribed to. Emmett Till was lynched in Money, Mississippi. And that story, that lynching of Emmett Till was the beginning of the civil rights movement. It was only a few months after that that the bus boycott started in Montgomery, and the civil rights movement really had a poster child, had a strong motivation. So that, you know, that was something I'd thought about. When you travel, or when I was in the Peace Corps in Central Africa, I constantly thought of home. And you're constantly making comparisons between, you know, what's happening there and what's happening, you know, at home. But then, as I say, it's also a road trip. So one of the great things about traveling on your own in your own car is that you can go anywhere you want, yeah. You know, and if you're traveling in the wider world, in Africa, the roads are terrible. If you're in India, I'm on the train just goes where the train goes. Same thing, you know, bus, ferry, whatever it is. The idea that I'm taking a trip on my own, in my own car, and I can go to any town, stop wherever I want, that is the making of a great trip.
Right. So tell us a little bit about at least one of the places that you did visit, and that's Allendale, South Carolina. You had a lot to say and write about what you discovered in Allendale.
Allendale struck me as analogous to a town that you might find in Zimbabwe. And Zimbabwe is in South Central Africa, where I've been. Desolate, lost its economy. Houses are in terrible shape. There's no work. Although there was once work there, like Zimbabwe, it once had an economy. It once had a reason for being. It was en route, north-south route 301, and Route 95 was located sort of parallel to it. And so it became a bypass. It bypassed Allendale. But see, Allendale, it has people. It has, some kind of education, although education in South Carolina has been defunded. But the idea that I was seeing a town that I had never anticipated, it's like doomsday. You think, how is the world going to end? This is what the world looks like when it's about to end. No work, no hope, substandard housing, substandard education. Virtually what it has is a church on every corner. So the church is off for kind of welfare and uplift.
Right.
But seeing that, I thought, I have something to write about, people to talk to, people who have stories.
Well, so let me ask you about that, because my family, we still have, family members in India. And a while ago when I was visiting there, I remember my cousin was fulminating about, you know, Western writers. They always come to India and they ignore how diverse this country is. And they just write about the elephants that walk down the street. This is in Mumbai. And of course, the very next day, an elephant and his mahout really did walk down the street. But I take her point that for any region that a writer is seeking to write about, it's impossible to really capture the entire diversity of the region. And I'm just wondering, in your book, Deep South, you must have struggled with that same challenge, right? Because, I mean, it's the South, yes, but the South is a lot of things.
The South is a lot of things. And one of the unwritten about parts of the South, funnily enough, is an Indian subculture, mainly Gujarati. Most motels, when I say most, 80 to 90% of the motels in the South, run by Mr. Patel. And Mr. Patel, it's a subcaste of, you know, Hindu subcaste from Gujarat. You'd find that in Africa. How do you, yours is an interesting question. What you find, though, are similarities all through the South, which is substandard education. You know, in Arkansas, Bill Clinton's Arkansas, in Lee County, 25% of the people are illiterate. Can you imagine, please? I mean, you wouldn't find that in India. You would hardly find it, you know, in any other part of the United States. So the idea that there are similarities, but also people are not necessarily demoralized, but they're not written about either.
Right.
I should say also that I was writing about mainly rural areas, places that are kind of off the map, off the grid, not the towns. The South exists in the rural areas,
yeah.
Not in the cities, not in Tuscaloosa, not in Atlanta.
Well, there's so much that you did discover and that's beautifully featured in the book. It is Deep South, Four Seasons on Back Roads. It's Paul Theroux's latest book, and he'll be speaking tomorrow evening at a Harvard Bookstore event about it at the Brattle Theater. Paul Theroux, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Magna.
And that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.